You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith.
Episode 43.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Today, we're talking to Lynn Hawkins, the Director of Business Women Australia Proprietary Limited. And we're going to talk about the power of collaborative communities and how you can grow your small business. Welcome, Lynn.
Thanks for inviting me onto your podcast show, Kathy. I'm really pleased to be here and to talk to you about this topic.
Excellent. And I think we're going to add real value to SBT community because collaborative communities, joint ventures, partnerships seem to crop up over and over and over. And a lot of people don't realise the power of that. Let's start talking about collaborative communities. Where should we be looking at and who should we be collaborating with?
Okay, so really it depends on your business and the target market that you're working in and trying to engage with. Good collaborations and the best alliances are those that have a similar business strategy and are actually trying to attract, retain and develop a similar market to yours. A good example would be, let's take a financial planner. A financial planner might be looking to engage with family businesses and owners of family businesses to help them with their financial planning. And so they need to think about, well, who else is actually doing with family businesses? Who might be consulting to family businesses around succession or around their finance needs or around their legal needs? Who else is actually in that space that is, you know, would get benefit from a collaboration that then brings, at the end of the day, ultimate value and better value to your target market? Because that is obviously going to be the basis of a good alliance if it's got a business development function. Always think about who are, you know, in the like business. The other thing, of course, is what's really important is who have the same values and who is like-minded as you. So, you know, okay, so if you've identified there's a range of organisations and people within those organisations who are potential allies or potential collaborators, the idea is to obviously go out, meet with people, get a feeling for how they operate, talk about your values, find out, you know, test them on their ideas, try out some small things together. You work out very quickly if you don't have a values alignment, and a lot of that can come through conversation. And the thing that I've learned in my experience, and I know this is the case with a lot of other people, is that they don't do enough of that sort of that kind of dancing at the beginning to really get an understanding of whether or not there's a good connection and an alliance of the mind and the heart. To start off with, and they find themselves in an alliance and then they're trying to unravel it because, you know, there's a very different value and different judgments going on and a different sense of purpose and a different style of operating that can actually then cause you some damage in the long run if you're not careful. You know, if it's a completely different value set, it can actually cause you not only financial problems, but it can cause you a lot of energy and emotional issues too, where you're working with people that you don't really want to be aligned with. At the end of the day, it's a really, really important thing is to get that alliance from the business and the values point of view.
Yes, that is so true, especially with the delivery mechanisms, because sometimes you can work with people who are go, 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 and you might have a slightly more relaxed style or vice versa, and that can be a real problem, and then the values will come up front and centre there. So definitely getting those values aligned, as well as things like your delivery methods and your timing.
Yeah, that's a really good one too, styles of working. You know, there you might tick the boxes on the business strategy, tick the box on values, you've both got generous spirits, you're both good people, you have care, honesty, good working ethic. But if there's a different style in the way you work and that's a very and it's hard to come to terms with that, that can be a deal breaker as well. Usually though, through really good strategic mapping and planning processes, if you're doing that collaboratively together and you discuss openly up front the different ways that you do things and your needs and your expectations, if you have a lot of those things up front as ground rules and you make it a key thing that through the process of working together and developing those alliances.
Okay, so we're talking about collaborative styles, so your speed of delivery, your values and that sort of thing. What else should we be looking at when we're looking at a potential JV partner, joint venture partner or partnership or collaboration of some description?
Well, the obvious thing then if with all those other things is that it's going to be a win-win. Really important when you're actually in a collaboration that there's a benefit to both of you and both of your businesses for the time and the energy that it's going to take to do an alliance. It's really important that you know, that all parties involved, and it might be a three-way party, that there's some benefit in that. So the financial aspects too.
Okay, perfect. We're thinking about like a lawyer and a financial planner getting together. So what other kinds of collaborations could we be doing?
Well, it really, again, depends on the business. You know, there might be collaborations around the development of a new technology. For example, one of my clients in the past had developed a certain technology and they knew of another organisation that had worked on another aspect of an innovation that would have been a great plug-in. So that was a really great opportunity to broach the subject around how to get together in order to get that product to market in a much more powerful way. That required obviously some contractual things. What ended up happening was a third alternative company was created with these two contributors as shareholders to the company. That's a really powerful alliance. And then they were able to go to market and get some venture capital and grow their business. Those kinds of strategic alliances are the ones that I really enjoy helping broker and support. They're great ways to get the real point of difference in your organisation. And they can be applied to service-based organisations as well. You know, there might be a company that is an accounting firm and they might have identified, obviously now with the strict rules around not being able to provide financial advice, they might go and source financial advisory companies that are wanting to be sold and plug them into their organisations and create an alliance where that group still works almost autonomously, but they're actually a part of a broader banner. Or they might be sitting alongside each other under their own entities and be cross-referring. There's all sorts of ways to do alliances. There's great ways to do alliances in industry and with industry and government. I think now with the incentives that government is actually very open to working with enterprise organisations to form collaborations that actually hitting their agenda goals. And, you know, they've got their very clear goals around what they're wanting to do in those innovation areas. We're seeing a lot of that happening in the hubs and cooperative workspace. So, yeah, that's, you know, when you're out there and you're actually in a community, you need to be thinking about strategically how you're going to grow, who to grow with and who's going to best match that in turn. But be open to new ideas as well. You know, don't be afraid to just see how things go and imagine something that might be a little bit different than something you might have had, you know, set in stone and be thinking you're heading on a pathway. Certainly with Business Women Australia, you know, we've evolved even in the last 3 years with, you know, the way that we've been doing things and the alliances that we've been setting up. You know, we recognised that some of our members were really interested in export. And so we started to develop a strategic alliance with the Hong Kong Australia Business Association, looking at that as a gateway into China and doing joint events and joint seminars and connecting our members with their members. That's been a really gorgeous alliance, you know, and creates new opportunities for people to meet people. Because at the end of the day, it is people that do business with people. Out of those sorts of things, great innovations and great new ways and new channels of distribution can be opened up.
Perfect. I heard of a really good collaboration where it was a top-end beautician and they were looking at their customers. And what they did was they identified that all their women customers drove luxury vehicles and they predominantly drove one particular variety of luxury vehicle. So they went and approached the dealer in the local city who was for that luxury vehicle, and they ended up doing a cross-promotion where they gave the dealer hampers. So every woman that bought a new luxury vehicle of that particular brand got a hamper from this particular beautician. And, of course, in that hamper was a voucher to come and use their services. And it became so successful that the car dealer actually wanted to roll it out across Australia, which unfortunately wasn't able to be done because this was just a one-off beauty parlour. It wasn't a franchise. So that worked out so well that in the end they then had to scale it back because it was bringing in so many customers that they'd outgrown their premises. Things like that can be really huge. So it doesn't have to be a massive scale. Just thinking outside the box can be a great way to do collaboration.
That's right. In Leaderville earlier this year, we had Varga Girl, the Leaderville Cinema, Hunter's Shoes, Handy Hair and Beauty and Body Shop, all collaborating on a social media campaign. So all local businesses coming together and being a part of a promotion about the local area that got people to like and tag and share and be a part of a competition. And they all benefited from that. You know, there's some really, really great ways to get together with other businesses that might even just be collaborative because of the geographic location that they're in.
Perfect. So Leaderville is a northern suburb of Perth. So that you can do within other areas. Just be careful with those kind of things not to violate Facebook's rules because they are now very much clamping down on your like, share, tag. They're calling clickbait. So there's definitely ways to collaborate.
Yeah. There are great ways to run competitions.
Yes.
And to have giveaways and to have prizes. So this one had prizes involved and it was a really great campaign for them.
Okay, so we're looking at different styles of collaboration. So we've talked about a few different examples there. Is there anything we should be aware of not to do in collaboration?
Well, obviously, you know, you need to know the rules. For example, you know, you've just raised the issue around Facebook, you know, and the rules are changing all the time. I think with any collaboration, just making sure, one, that you are compliant with whatever it is that you're doing. And different industries have different regulations. For example, I was talking to a law firm last night and we'd just seen a wonderful presentation from Robin Moyle and they've developed the H-Factor system, which is a great system that's software and it could be licensed. And I was talking to these law firms and saying, is that something within your employment and workplace relations area that'd be a great collaboration and maybe even license this? But they're not able to do that because there's really strict rules for law firms in their licensing under the law, the legal codes. It would be definitely something that an accounting firm might be able to do, but, you know, you have to be aware of what you can and can't do when it comes to a strategic alliance and a collaboration. Be aware of the rules. The other thing, of course, is I would say don't go into a long-term collaboration until you've actually tested the relationship. So test it on something that's a finite project with clear outcomes that you're trying to achieve, even if they're a marketing-related outcome or a promotional project. Just make sure that you're working together and that you're actually collaborating in a way that is testing that relationship before you dive in deep. Yeah, avoid the big things first, start small and get that right. I like to, with any of my collaborations, I just like to work with people without too many big outcomes that we're trying to achieve, just to get a feel for how we work together. And, you know, over time then you can see, yeah, okay, this I would enjoy working with and collaborating, and then coming together and saying, now that we know more about each other's businesses, what are the things that we could do that are bigger than us on our own? I think taking your time, don't jump in too quickly, getting that right sort of meeting of the minds in place before you actually go ahead with a bigger project.
That's great advice. Let's do a bit of a relationship building and have a few dates before we dive straight into marriage. We quite often bring online
Let's have a date for a long time.
Yes. And then if sometimes that you think it'll be a great match, but it turns out that they don't, then it can be just that small chunk and then you can decide whether it's a win-win for both of you or whether you need to change it or whether it's just not going to work. The other thing that you were talking about, compliance, you also need to be aware it might be compliant for your industry but possibly not for theirs. So as you were saying about lawyers, as a small business person thinking about who to approach for that collaboration, you need to be aware of their compliances.
Absolutely. That's right. You can see a lot of small businesses will try and chase opportunities with certain organisations and then realise that they've spent 6 months really barking up the wrong tree, because even though the organisations love the idea and they've been welcoming and what have you, there's no way they're ever going to take on board the longer term view that the original party might have been hoping for down the track. So you're spot on. You need to do your homework about who is actually going to be capable of developing an alliance with you.
And I guess that also brings it down to people too. If you're looking at a senior executive who's getting close to retirement, then a long-term collaboration may not work there, because it might have been her baby and she loves it, but the person that's coming up under her may have different alliances and different agendas as well. Okay, so how can people find you, Lynn Hawkins?
Well, you can find me mainly through Business Women Australia. That's where I'd love to connect with other women in business. But in terms of my strategy consulting company, you'll find me through Hawkins Marketing. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so that's a really great place to actually connect with me first. And from there, we can introduce each other's businesses to each other and get a feeling for whether or not there's a possibility to co-create and collaborate.
Perfect, and we'll drop those all in the show notes. So now we are up to the final five. So I ask you five final questions. Are you game, Lynn?
Oh, my goodness, that scares the daylights out of me.
It does for everybody, except for I have recently interviewed Donna Vincent and she'd actually done her homework, so she had written answers, so she did exceptionally well.
Well, that'd be right.
Lynn actually knows Donna from solo accounts. Donna, okay, so let's go with the best advice you've been given by a mentor.
Well, the best advice I ever got from a mentor was my mentor at Telstra. And I worked at Telstra as a product manager for many years and spent some time with them in their strategy development, working on sort of the deregulation stuff. But this guy, he was a wonderful boss and a wonderful mentor. And I'm a very touchy-feely person. And he used to say to me, Lynn, if we're in a meeting, please don't come on my side of the desk and don't put your hand on my arm. That was really good advice, because you know what? It could have been reverse sex discrimination. I could have got myself into a lot of trouble. I just had a very different sense of my body space, and very early in the piece I had to learn to step back and to be more professional in the workplace. Not everyone is my best buddy, and I don't have to have physical contact in a meeting. It's hilarious but true.
And Telstra is an Australian telco company, so no doubt that would be relevant for a lot of other telco companies.
Well, in any organisations really nowadays, you've just got to be very politically correct, and, you know, not everyone wants to be a hand holder.
Yes, I was recently at a conference where they said, okay, get up and hug the person next to you, and you could sort of see a quarter of the room actually shrink and go, oh, no, I'm not doing that.
So that's actually an interesting point, because in today's environment we are aware that some people actually, that brings up a lot of negativity for them, and, you know, people who have been physically or sexually abused in any way would find that actually to be a deal breaker. And, you know, I've seen people walk out of environments and conferences where they've actually done that as an icebreaker. And I've thought, wow, that's a really crazy thing to do, because, I mean, even though quite often all-female environments, still it's very early days and not everyone wants a hug and not everyone wants to be touched. Absolutely. So these are just things we have to change. You know, we have to recognise that not everyone, you know, and at a conference, that's probably not the place to deal with trying to break down those things.
No.
It's an interesting dilemma, especially for huggers.
Okay. What is the biggest help you've received since starting your business?
For me, the biggest help I've received since starting, if I say since starting Hawkins Marketing, because I've been sort of running that firm now for about 6 years, coming up to 6 years, but the biggest help that I got was the referrals that I got from my sort of network, the people who knew the capabilities that I would bring and the type of team that I would have and my commitment to delivery. You know, if things start getting a bit quiet, all I have to do is, you know, reach out to my network and say, look, we've got some capacity, and the referrals I get are phenomenal. I really value my network and my contacts. And likewise, you know, I'm very generous in trying to refer opportunities to those that I know who've got that capacity and trying to build their businesses as well. So always a great referral and a good quality client referral is for me the ultimate gift.
Excellent. And it is becoming more and more a thing. We're going back to connection and real connection. So that's wonderful.
That's right.
What is the one thing you have to do each day, your non-negotiable?
My non-negotiable each day, I think my dog Wasabi would say, take me for a walk. That's a fairly intensive little non-negotiable that is greeting me when I wake up every morning. And I must admit, if I don't do that early morning walk with my dog, I don't feel like I've had a good, fresh, lively start to the day. There's mindfulness involved in that, and it's a great way. And very often, if my beautiful husband Simon's in Perth, he will come with us. I love that. I try to make that a non-negotiable. Family time on the weekend is another key non-negotiable. I've set my life up so that my work has its place, and it's very rare for it to actually encroach on, you know, my sacred family time. And Saturday and Sundays for me are those days, and it is a non-negotiable. I like to be around my family, around my husband, at home, catching up with friends, doing fun things.
Perfect. And that's a good breaker when you have had those busy weeks, and especially when you've been travelling. So yeah. I really like that. Okay, what is your favourite business book and why?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've read a lot of business books, but one of the ones that was the most impactful for me was Experience Economy. That was it's actually a very old book now, but it was really, really made sense to me around experiential consumption and how with anything that you're delivering as a product or a service, actually it's the experience around that and how to make experiences extraordinary that actually brings customers back. So certainly the Experience Economy, I think, is a book that has made a huge influence. In terms of business books, interestingly at the moment, I'm reading a lot more around the mindfulness around personal health. I think that's a really important thing when you're in leadership roles and you're living a very busy life in your career at work and with family, actually learning about some of these health and wellbeing things. Also Dr. Michael Mosley's, I'm reading at the moment, his gut diet. So interesting learning about gut health. Once upon a time, I don't think I would have had any of the mindfulness or health books taking over my reading of business books. I love, of course, all the inspirational women's books that are out there, and, you know, I've got a bunch of them. I've just read Lisa Berling's book about the dreams, you know, little dreams, and she's done a great job with that book. And one of my favourite books, of course, is Vida Carlino's book on the power, you know, the creating your own power and being able to imagine and be a different person so that you actually become that person. You know, some really strong, there's lots of stuff. Hers is called My Power Statement. And that's a really great sort of workbook type book.
Wonderful. And we'll link a couple of those in the show notes. Mm. I'm glad I said one book. If I had asked you for 10, we would have been here all afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm a big reader, so... and I've always got more than one on the go.
Yes, I must admit I've got several as well. Okay, what do you wish you had known when you started your business?
I think I wish I'd known that flexibility and mobility and freedom of being a business owner is actually a myth. I probably had more flexibility and time to myself when I was in my corporate roles. You know, I was paid a big salary. I got, you know, leave, structured leave. I got days off, you know, sick days if I needed them. I had amazing employers who were pretty great in terms of flexibility around family and all that sort of stuff. And I made the decision to go out and set up my own consulting practice because I thought it would bring me greater flexibility. And there's no way it has, really. If in actual fact, you never turn off from your business unless you make that conscious decision to do that. Like, you have to work so hard not to keep thinking about your business. So it can be all consuming. X number of years down the track, I think I've got that in order. But I know for the first 5 years, I was probably heading for burnout and a lot quicker than the 5 years previously in corporate. You know, grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. saying that, no regrets. I love having my own business, and I've now got it to a point where, you know, I feel like I'm more in control of it than it being in control of me.
Perfect. And that's definitely where we need to aim, because yes, this whole idea of the 4-hour work week and some of those is not a reality
good luck
in our world, that's for sure. So thank you very much, Lynn. Really appreciate your time and your wisdom. And we will link those resources in the show notes.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you so much for inviting me on the podcast. I've enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.